Welcome to Allegedly. I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Ari Manitz.
And we are really excited today. We're going to do an intro and then we're going to introduce you. Ari, Matt's away on a...
African safari.
Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that he's using Grindr in Zimbabwe, which
I bet
sure...
he is. You could do both.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's risky.
It's kind of like when you go to New City, I bet your first thing pops in your head. I wonder if I could do stand-up while I'm there.
Yeah.
His is, I wonder if I could have gay sex.
But in Africa?
Yeah.
That's
where
dangerous.
It started, right?
I don't know. I mean, it could be. I mean, we'd have to really Google something. Yeah. I couldn't even do straight sex in Africa, I don't think.
Oh, I mean, if you met the right person, you don't want to rule that out. What if you go there, you meet your soulmate, and you're like, sorry, I made a rule, I don't do straight sex in Africa.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, dude. You convinced you.
Yeah.
You just convinced me of something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about that. Well, we have a guest today, and he has a new movie, and I'm gonna make sure I know how to say your last name. Jim O... Hire.
Hair.
Jim O'Hare.
Airport.
Jim O'Hare, and I'm going to say that you know him from Parks and Rec.
Know him from a lot of things.
I mean, everything. So I can get it out there, he has a new film that's out called The Middleman Movie. It won the Seattle International Film Festival and the Edmonton International Film Festival, and I'm going to describe it quickly. It's a dark comedy, almost borderline horror, and it's a huge turn for you. You basically play a stand-up comedian following his dream to be a headliner in Vegas, and you become involved with murders and other debauchery.
I did see the trailer for this. You just describe it,
wow.
I did see the trailer.
So you saw the trailer without me even sending it over to you.
Yes, I saw it on my own.
Nice. Yeah. And what do you think of it?
I don't remember how I saw it now, but I saw it. It looked weird.
Yeah.
But like in a cool way. I was like, I want to see that. It doesn't look like anything I've seen before, that type of thing.
Yeah. And because you're talking to two comedians here, how does that tell us how that plays out. I mean, you are a comedian who's heading to find a slice of his dream.
Yeah, but I'm not, you know, in real life, I want to say this. I am not a stand-up comedian. I think you guys do the toughest job in the whole fucking world.
Right.
My immediate neighbor is Brian Posehn. Do you guys know Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Greatest guy. That's a tough life. I mean, God bless you guys. So my fear was, can I pull this off? Because I've done comedy as an actor forever, but never stand-up, and that's very different.
Yeah.
Different worlds. This guy, his name is Lenny Freeman. He's a very simple man. He's a 50-year-old dude who's lived with his mother all of his life. Their style of comedy was they would sit in a room and memorize Burns and Allen, and do you guys even know who these people are?
No, it doesn't sound that. No.
Charlie McCarthy, Edgar Bergen, like Abbott and Costello.
Yeah,
who's on first type of stuff?
Yeah,
that in this day and age, that's what they thought was still comedy, and so they would memorize these bits and do them together, and they just thought they were the funniest damn things. The mom dies, Lenny's on his own. He loses everything because it was the mother's house. It goes to the government. So he decides, kind of as an homage to her and also for himself, he's going to go to Las Vegas and he's going to be a stand-up because his mother always told him how funny he was.
Wow.
And there's this big stand-up standoff competition in Vegas that he's going to go and try out for. But the thing is, he is the least funny man that's ever walked the planet.
Wow.
So he heads out and he's in good spirits. He's a simple little dude and he makes one horrible, horrible mistake, and he picks up a hitchhiker.
Mm.
And this hitchhiker is...
Because he's a nice guy.
Because he was always told not to, and he wasn't going to pick up this hitchhiker, but something weird happens that draws his attention to this hitchhiker. And I'll let the audience see that for themselves. So he picks him up, and this hitchhiker, played by Andrew J. West, most people know him from Walking Dead, is just evil.
Yeah, it's a vibrant character,
he's
it looks
evil.
Like.
He's really evil, and... So he's going to coach Lenny on how to be a comedian. Well, Lenny does his first set, and it is horrible, literally horrible, of course, because he's absolutely not funny. But then things start happening, particularly to one of the hecklers. Something happens. And then, basically, as the bodies start piling up, the funnier he becomes.
Mm.
Because he's going on stage, and he's not doing a routine that he's made up, like you guys have your material. He's just telling what happened.
Wow.
And the audience doesn't believe it. He's soaked in blood, and he just walks up there and we'll just talk about what just happened, which is decapitations and blood and every other damn thing. And since the audience thinks it's a bit, he becomes enormous. Like, he's becoming huge. And so it's very much a what price will you pay for fame.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's really cool, and it's got Josh McDermott, who is on Walking Dead. He plays Eugene, but he was a stand-up in real life.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yes, and he plays a dick on
this. Oh, wait, yeah, Josh, I've actually worked with him. He opened for me in San Jose, I think, a couple years ago.
Probably. Yeah.
Really funny guy.
Now
great.
He's Eugene on Walking Dead.
Yeah, he's had a great career.
He plays the biggest asshole in this thing, but it's so perfect. He's awesome.
Wow.
And so him and then Ann Dudek, who a lot of people know her from House or a bunch of other shows. So we had this incredible cast. But Ned Crowley wrote it and directed it. He came up with this film for me over 10 years ago.
Wow.
No one gave a shit. He was in the ad biz. I was a working actor, but not on anything that anybody would know me. And then Parks and Rec comes along, you know, get a little notoriety. And then these
now
producers.
Now it can be done.
Now it can be done. Producers were like, if you can attach O'Hare, blah, blah, blah. So we made this movie for very little money in the world of film. You know, we kickstarted 150.
Wow.
And then the producers put in what else we needed. But it was still SAG ultra low budget. But the script was so fucking awesome that we got these other amazing actors to come on board because of the script. Because believe me, it wasn't going to pay their bills.
Right.
I think SAG ultra low budget, I think they were paid $125 a day.
Wow.
And you know, and some people, I've told this story, and they're like, well, you know, in some worlds, I go, no, I get it. I'm not saying, if you make $125 a day, God bless you, whatever you do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying these are actors who make a lot more than $125 a day.
Yeah, and I'm going to also, I'm going to support you in that and say that everyone at a highlight of their life should be able to make $125 a day, I think, in America.
In America, God bless it. Yeah.
So if these people are professional actors, if they're making that, then that's, it's good, but they could be making more.
Josh, they go and do these fan weekends, you know, with the they make $30,000-$40,000 a weekend. He gave up weekends to do our film.
Wow.
That's pretty amazing. And we were in the desert, and it's low budget. So, you know, I was on a show for 7 years where, you know, in the morning, what will I have this morning for breakfast?
Was an omelet truck? Was there a truck there?
Of course. Every day there was. It was nonstop food. It's 7 years of, you know, at lunch, sushi or BBQ. You know, I mean, like ridiculous to in some ways, but awesome. And now we're in the desert, and Andy and I are changing clothes by opening our car door and dropping trowel. And I mean, it was just a different world, and these actors came in with a smile on their face, ready to do it.
And this is in the desert. I mean,
we shot in the desert between here and Vegas. We shot some in Vegas too, and then we shot in the desert. So it was, you know, and I'm a fat man. 107 in the desert is not good.
Yeah,
it is not good. There was one day, and I say this with all sincerity. I'm sitting in the car. It's me. Andy is next to me. We're in a 1952 Olds. Behind you, because people don't realize there's crew in the car because someone's got to shoot this. So there's a director, a DP, and the sound guy, and the windows are all rolled up. We're in the desert. It's 104 that day or something. And I'm sitting there between takes thinking, I think this is it. I think I'm going to die today. I was like, okay.
I thought you said you were going to fart.
Yeah.
Actually kind of all made a rule.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are too tight. There is no air going on. And of course, the rule was occasionally broken. But I truly thought this could be it.
Yeah.
And that'll okay, because they'll say, he died doing what he loved. But it was a tough film to shoot with very little money. You don't get a lot of takes. You just don't. It's an indie film.
That's exciting. Have you ever done a film as low budget as that one before?
I have, but never that looks so high budget.
Yeah.
I hope you get a chance to see it.
Oh, the trailer looks great.
Yeah, I didn't even know it was low budget.
Yeah, Dick Buckley, our DP, came in, and he made this film. It looks like a multi-million-dollar film just because of the brilliant people that were involved, you know, behind the scenes to make it happen. So we were just lucky, you know. It was just one of those things. If Parks hadn't happened, this movie would just still be sitting in a drawer somewhere. And since it came out, and you know, I'm sure you've done projects where you don't know if it's good or bad. You're so tight and invested. You're like, what the fuck? I don't know if this is good or this is garbage. And so we go to the Seattle Film Festival, and I was shooting in Chicago at the time, another film, and they tried to work the schedule around me so I could be at both, but we had the day at Wrigley Field we were shooting. Well, you can't change that. That's been in stone for months. So I go to the Seattle, and I do some press, and then we leave. I have to leave halfway through the film. I still hadn't seen the full film.
Wow.
Fly back to Chicago, shoot at Wrigley the next day, fly back to Seattle on Sunday. And I get off the plane, and there's a message from Ned, the director, and he goes, we won. And I just type back, won what? Like, there was never talk of winning. There was never discussions of winning. We just wanted to make a good film, have a beer, have a couple festivals take us, you know. And so I said, won what? And he just texted back, I don't know, but people seem very excited for us. Well, we won the whole fucking thing. We won the grand jury prize. So, and then we went on to win.
And that's like best in show.
Yeah, basically. And then we won the, in Edmonton, we won best drama and best comedy.
Wow.
So
I wonder if that's ever been done before.
I don't know. They couldn't place it. They couldn't figure it out.
And they can't figure out a lot in Canada, so I don't think that that's a surprise.
Wow, that was Theo who said that, everybody. Zane. Not yep. Jim O'Hare. He loves the Canadians.
I've spent a lot of time. Actually spent a lot of time in Edmonton. Got food poisoning there one time.
All those fuckers.
What food did you eat specifically?
You know what it was? It was a chicken salad at the comedy club. And and I was literally, I lost like 11 pounds, but I had a good time.
That's
had a good
almost
time.
Your fault.
My grandmother always told me, chicken salad, you only eat at home.
Really?
From someone who knows made it.
Wow. What's up, guys? Do you like surprises? I do. And I've got one for you. It's Loot Crate. Let me tell you what it is. It's this amazing surprise box that comes every month. And it's got just unique, I don't want to say paraphernalia, but unique items from pop culture and nostalgic movies from some of your favorite franchises. This month, I got a sweet Goonies t-shirt. Goonies. Remember Goonies? I also got a Guardians of the Galaxy figurine that's pretty tight. It's a Rocket and Groot, them combined into one. Oh, I got this Star Wars coloring book that you can't get anywhere else. And that's just a few of the items that came in this month's Loot Crate. Every month, the items are different. Like June's Loot Crate has Spider-Man, Transformers, the Hulk, and items from other DC Comics. Also, one lucky subscriber will win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to get this month's Loot Crate for June. It's a perfect gift if you have a loved one or a friend who just likes a great surprise every month that'll be full of nostalgia or current pop culture. To get our special, you want to go to lootcrate.com, lootcrate.com/allegedly, allegedly, and enter my code Theo, Theo, to get 10% off any Loot Crate subscription today. So fill your life, fill your month with something new, something unique, a nice surprise that you treat to yourself or to a child or to somebody who loves nostalgia and pop culture and movies and Transformers and everything like that. Each month, it's a different Loot Crate. Each month, it's a new surprise. Lootcrate.com/allegedly and enter my code Theo to save 10% off. And now, back to the show.
That is one thing I've lived by.
Well, that's a note to go out there right now. Before we get into a couple questions, I want to ask, so the character you play on Parks and Rec, what is the character's name?
Jerry Larry Terry Barry.
Yeah.
I had five different names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
over
kind of
seven seasons.
And that's the guy that's kind of the office, not Jester, the guy that everybody.
Sad sack, punching bag. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to give that to our guests just so that they know who's speaking here. To me, you look a little bit like Carol O'Connor. People say that a lot.
I do hear that. For years, I heard George Wendt. You guys know who George is? Mm-mm. Cheers. No. The guy, Norm on Cheers?
Oh, yeah.
I would hear that
with George
a lot.
Before.
One time when I was much younger, I was at a restaurant, and I mean, before I was even acting and stuff, and I'm at the urinal, and some guy walks away, and I hear him say to his friend, I just saw George Wendt's dick. So I've worked with George since, and I said, I did you a favor, my friend. I did you a favor.
I'm showing a big cock around town at Santa Cheers.
You know, on Parks, the character Jerry was the put-upon character, and so he was so shit on at work that they said he's got to have an amazing home life. So they gave my wife was Christy Brinkley, and I had these three beautiful daughters. And then at the beginning of season three, I'm being checked for mumps. And we did single cam, and it was mockumentary style. So the camera, we talk to the camera sometimes. And so they're talking to the doctor after I leave, and he says, I don't know if that man has mumps. I couldn't take my eyes off the biggest penis I have ever seen.
That was actually going to be my first question. Who is the most famous penis you've ever seen?
That's a good question.
Life?
Wow, that I've ever seen?
Mm-hmm.
And even if you saw a
That's
third
a
of it.
For that question.
It's a good question.
Well, now I guess I'd have to say Pratt. It didn't used to be Pratt, but now
nice.
Pratt
yeah,
is
yeah.
blown up.
He's A-list right now.
He's A-list, so I guess Chris Pratt penis
okay,
would be.
Cool.
And Chris Pratt loves to hike his pants up
mm-hmm.
so that you see Potatoes.
The bulge, yeah.
Ooh.
You see the potatoes.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
And so the meat is still confused. You're still like kind of, you're focused on the potatoes.
Well, they seem to stand out more when he would do that bit.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, he did a bit.
He's got sweet potatoes in.
He's sweet potatoes. He, on Parks, every time we did a scene when we were done, we did what was called a fun run and we could do anything we wanted. So there was one scene where Amy opens the door and he's supposed to be standing there naked to give flowers to Rashida Jones, blah, blah, blah. But of course, he's in a dance belt and all this stuff, so you don't see anything. Well, he took it all off.
Wow.
And so she opens the door. And then, you know, hilarity ensued.
Yeah.
Hilarity ensued, yeah.
It's not bad. Not a bad penis to say.
Yeah, they got the big dick thing for my character based on one of the writers who had been next to me at the urinal.
I like it.
So there we go.
So there is some truth. There's some truth still in Hollywood.
I want to
prove that I'm lying. Yeah. I don't know.
And then what about you, Theo? What's the most famous penis you've ever seen?
You know, I one time saw two at the same time. I was at a urinal at between Montel Williams and Kid Rock.
Nice.
Montel Williams. You see, he was an old talk show host, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Montel Williams and Kid Rock. And I think they had the same size penis, which made it tough for me in the moment.
Yeah, to pick a favorite.
To know. Yeah, because the scale was the same. So I couldn't tell if they were big or small.
Well, urinal penises are not what real penises will be or could be.
Really?
Well, yes, yeah. I don't know if you know. I think I'm going to teach you a little something. This is a teaching moment. For most men, you have your penis.
Mm-hmm.
And good or bad, whatever. It looks like whatever it looks. And then in moments of, let's say, excitement, it changes.
Oh,
yes. Sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You get scared.
Or your guys who are quite the shower at the urinal, that's really, once it gets excited, that's still just what's going on, other than it might be a little more rigid.
Oh, wow.
Whereas then there's a gentleman who you're like, oh, well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Who could and
Pinocchio and
powerhouse.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know. My penis, I don't know if to get back in touch with it, you know?
Oh, I'm guessing you're in touch with it 2-3 times a day.
I don't know. I'm actually trying to take a break from adult masturbation. I have a couple questions.
Myself a point for
that. There you go. Good. I have a couple questions based on the... So what makes your character in... And this movie, I just want to tell you guys that it's out right now. I want to tell you...
No, Friday.
It'll be out... Right, this Friday,
this
right?
This Friday, yeah.
So and when this airs...
Oh, it'll be out, so good. Okay.
Yes.
And
good.
Is this theater release or to video?
Theater release for 1 week. It's limited theater release. Okay. It's going to be at the Lemleys on Wilshire and Beverly Hills.
Cool.
And Universal City Walk. Some other new theater I just heard today, and I don't know what it is.
The cities it's playing in are...
Chicago, Boston, L.A., New York, Seattle... did I say Atlanta? Did I say
big cities?
Big city, all the big cities.
Yeah.
And I'll say this honestly. It looks awesome, man. I'm really excited, and I want to go check it out.
Yeah, you should.
I'll bring it.
It will
there.
Eventually be video on demand, and then of course Netflix. But to see it on a big screen is pretty cool.
Think it'd be a good date night.
If she's into, first of all, if that were my date night and she was into it, we would be such a team because this is a. You know what I mean? If some chick was with me and she was into this film,
you're into her.
We're big time. We have already made a
connection. Of course, especially since you're the star.
Well, no, I'm not going to help. A film like this.
Right.
I happen to be the star in, but yeah.
Now, what makes your character get hire him as your confidant, as your manager, the hitchhiker?
I pick him up, and he starts. Right away, you know there's something off. Mm-hmm. But Lenny, my character, is very innocent. I'm sure he's a 50-year-old virgin. Mm-hmm. He's never like. There's a scene where he leaves where he used to work as a CPA. It's all very quick at the beginning, but little recaps of how we get on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And he says to this female coworker, and he's like, you know, Nancy, I'm so sorry. After all these years, we never got a chance to go out because you were always busy or your family was in town. Well, most guys know she blew you off, dude. You know, he truly thought she was busy and her family was in town. It never would have dawned on him that she didn't want to.
For 30 years.
So, I mean, he's that guy, you know, and I don't think there's a lot of guys out there like that, but he's that guy. So he can be taken advantage of very easily. Mm. So Hitch gets in the car with him. It gets a little weird, and then Lenny starts thinking, oh, this guy does kind of know stuff. He reveals to him that he used to manage stand-ups, jokers, as he called them. And so he's doing this whole thing, and he's telling me, and I'm like, wow. And then he looks at me, and he goes, don't tell me you want to be a stand-up. And what's weird about that is and it sets up his character. He shouldn't have known that.
Mm.
So how did he know it? Well, watch the film and find out.
I love it.
But so I beg him, please, please, please be my manager. He's like, you know, I take contracts seriously. Like, he's really deep and stuff. And I go, me too. I even cross my heart. Like a child would do.
Yeah.
And so that's how he becomes my manager. And he said, we have to get you out there. So you have to do, he said, did you ever open for anyone? I go, huh? I don't follow. He goes, open. I go, like on stage in front of people? No, I've never done that. I'm going to go to Vegas. So he sends him out for the first time. And of course, it's a huge disaster because he has no material. His material is he'll be at a urinal and go, start laughing at some shit written on the wall and pull out a little book and write it, you know? Sophomoric,
right?
So that's how
you got your manager, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, my manager at was it a urinal? Probably, actually. Yeah. Walking to the bathroom at the Improv.
There it is.
There you go.
Now, have you ever picked? I have a hitchhiker story. Have you ever picked one up in real life or no?
Never.
Really?
Not that I don't know that I wouldn't. I'm from Midwest. I don't know. I don't remember seeing a lot. I was told never to hitchhike. I have hitchhiked to no problems.
Did somebody pick you up?
I think twice I got picked up. Yeah. Yeah, a quick blowjob, you move on. It's all fine.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to do what you pay to get a ride. That's all life is. Yeah.
So you played a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
And this obviously interests me, probably Theo as well, because we do comedy.
Well, I'll be the judge. Go ahead.
Another
one for Jim. Okay.
Did you prepare in any way? Did you go around town do an open mic? Did you ask your neighbor for advice? Did you prepare at all to do comedy, or did you kind of just go up there and try it and figured you were played a bad comedian, maybe you needed practice?
That's a good question.
Here's the biggest shock.
Yeah.
That was a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm blown away.
That's fine.
I didn't expect it.
There's more to me than these good looks.
It's truly good. Here's the deal. There was a guy, people always ask, and I'd say, we'll never say his name, who I know who became a late-in-life stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
Horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
Horrendous. Plenty of those. Even friends, you'd go and...
yeah,
trying to give something, but it was mortifying.
Yeah,
so he was my inspiration for the beginning when Lenny is just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a comics night last week, mm-hmm. Over at Harmony Gold, and we just screened it for comics.
Mm-hmm.
So, because I want to say, am I pulling this off? What I realized I needed to do when I started getting good, that the people thought I was good. I was just telling a story from truth. I don't want to get too actory, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm telling a story from truth. There is no bit. There's
right.
no material. There's no payoff in my mind. I'm telling you what just happened. So it really took all the pressure off me because now I'm an actor again, and I'm just telling a story rather than an actor trying to be a stand-up,
right.
which I do at
who
the
is,
beginning.
Yeah, who is telling a story.
Who's telling a story. Yeah, like, hey, you know, blah, right. blah. No, this is me. Almost falling into the microphone, you know, saying, I don't know what happened. And then all of a sudden, there was blood everywhere. And of course, I'm coated in blood, and the people are starting to chuckle at first. And I'm like, you know, the toughest thing about a dead body are the bones, you know, because I have to cut through bones. And I'm just saying it as this is what happened.
Yeah.
I had trouble burying a guy because his arms kept sticking out. And
yeah.
So I had to cut them off. So, which is all funny when you see it happen.
I can imagine that. I mean, I like murder and I like mystery and I love buried treasure and that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
You'll love this.
So
you'll
I'm really this. In that yes. universe. I picked up a couple of hitchhikers. I'm just going to delve into it really quick. A family one time that didn't even say thank you. I picked them up in the middle of the night.
They speak English?
It was a black guy, a black family, a man,
so
a wife,
they speak English,
and a child.
Think?
Yeah. Got in. I took them wherever they needed to go to pick up something. I think it may have been gasoline or something. Brought him back. Not even a thank you.
Nothing.
Wow.
No. And that kind of it hurt my feelings.
Hell yes.
Picked up another guy one time, and he's like, he told me a story. He goes, one time I got picked up by a guy. He goes, and he was running from the police. And I'm like, holy shit, dude.
That's cool.
So he goes, so next thing you know, I'm in a high-speed chase, dude. He goes, and I'm excited because I'm getting where I want to go pretty quick. But I'm also kind of pissed off because I didn't do any crime. You know,
right.
Hell, I just gotten out. He goes,
oh, damn.
Which is why I was hitchhiking in the first place. Wow. And he gets to... and he ended up getting lodged in a cornfield somewhere, and the cops got him, and they believed, and they believed his story. And that gentleman asked me if I wanted a beer, right? I was like, yeah, I'll take a beer, you know? He's like, what kind of beer do you want? And, I think I probably said Miller Lite, you know? And he's like, and he looks in his coat, literally looks in his coat, and he's like, I don't have Miller Lite. And I was like, I guess I'll take, you have High Life? And he's like, do have High Life. Reaches into this dude's coat and pulled out a cold Miller High Life.
Now, cold!
A
cold.
Can or damn. A bottle? Can. It's like a 40? Okay.
Can. Yeah. And gave it to me. And drove him a little bit.
It was two.
And then another time I picked up a gentleman who said he was, I picked him up to buy me some vodka at a Chevron. And because we're being truant and skipping out of school. And I gave him money for him to vodka and my vodka. He goes and gets it, comes back out, sits in my car. And then he told me he's the headbutting champion of the world, right? And I'm like, whoa. Oh, shit. And this dude looked like Kimbo Slice, right? Like, and so I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, I'm the headbutting champ. And I was like, I'm pulling my car. He goes, oh, he's like, you want to see? And I did not want to see, you know, because only one way to find out, yeah. really, if somebody's the headbutting champ. So I pulled the car over because I don't want to, you know, be unconscious and moving forward at the same time, you know? So I pull the vehicle over, and this dude lines us up, bro. Boom! Hits me, knocked me out cold in my driver's seat of my car.
Holy shit.
But you said no.
No, I said, yeah, I'd love to see. Yeah, but I pulled over because I didn't want him. Sorry if I was confusing.
Damn.
And then,
what state was this in?
This is in Louisiana. This is my hometown. And then he stole all the vodka, and whenever I woke up, it was gone, and he was gone.
Damn.
And he was the champ.
Damn. God bless him.
I mean, as far as I know, he's a champ. He was undefeated in my car.
He got you.
Yeah.
That's for dang sure. So that's a wild art, I think, that's not around much anymore. You don't see as many hitchhikers as you used to.
Oh, I thought you were going to say headbutting champions.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were going to say that, too.
You don't see that either.
You don't see that either.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of studies have been done. It really affects them down the road.
You know what
does it really?
Hitchhikers?
Yeah.
Is
well,
like,
it affects football players who are getting hit
right,
in the head.
Concussions.
I'm guessing headbutters in the same league.
When's that going to come back, headbutting?
Yeah.
But you know where you see hitchhikers is in hippie towns. Like I went to college in Santa Cruz. A lot of hitchhikers in Santa Cruz.
Wow.
Students or hippies?
Both.
Both.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's where the hitchhikers all went.
Now, Jim, your character is ends up becoming a murderer.
I
we don't want
to say
all
that. Because I can't say that.
Okay,
I'm not saying he's not.
Right.
But there's that can be questioned.
You got to see
it. So yeah, you got to see it.
There's murder in the film.
Murders are happening. Yeah, the literally bodies are piled up.
Could you ever murder? Honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in real life.
Well, certainly not.
I could.
And if you were to hypothetically murder,
that's a better question.
Yeah.
Done it before. Neither have we.
Of course.
Who would you murder?
I could have murdered easily three people just today.
Right.
I have horrible road rage.
Wow.
And my family is sure that's how I'm going to go out. And I said, well, I went out happy because fuck those people who are bad drivers. And if that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. There are times I thought, thank God I'm not allowed to carry a gun.
Yeah.
Because I have terrible road rage. I couldn't. No, but in truth, like, could I murder somebody? They hurt one of mine.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat.
And now, how would you dispose of the body, do you feel like? Because I think about
that's
this daily.
That's the tough part. Yeah.
I'd like to hear how you do it, too.
I'd like to look at the history on that computer.
It's actually murder. It's all about murder. I mean, I watch murder shows all the time.
Murder.
Well, there's a show right here called Up and Vanish that I was listening to yesterday.
Wow.
So I am in the world.
Wow.
I am deep in the
murder
world.
I saw a few other things, Nessa. I won't reveal what I just saw. Wow. But you know what? Goat porn is not unusual these days. It's
perfectly
give me
fine.
One for
it's
that.
Coming back.
It's coming back.
How would you get rid of a body?
What a good question. Wow.
There's only a few ways.
Decapitation is messy, right? I know.
Oh, yeah.
I know that when you cut it, you got to do it in a tub if you're going to do that. And also, there's so much DNA that can be bounced all over. It just takes one fucking drop, half a drop of something, and you're gone. Because they're going to get you. So I guess my thought would be, bag it, put it in the trunk. So, you know, like if it happened at my house, I have kind of a private place. I could do it. No neighbor would see me do that.
Okay.
But then where do you dump it?
Yeah.
I think water. If I can find the right place, I think water is where to put it. You know, put a little weight around it.
Now, but if you don't have a boat, what you can do is just like run up and throw it as far as you can into the water.
No, because that's going to float back. You know, you're right. Wow.
It's tough.
It is
Are you
tough.
Talking here about like a pre-planned murder where you have it all planned out or kind of heat of the moment?
LMM, last-minute murder.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is how I would most, if I murder, it's going to be LMM. Yeah.
Jim's a last-minute murder.
Yeah, I guarantee.
Let's put that out
there. So what do I do with that body? I don't know.
And people think about this, and I mean, murder's one of the most top, it's most popular watch things in the world right now is all these murder shows and these investigative podcasts. So, yeah, I think it's a question that hits a lot of people, you know. How would you do it?
There's a bit in the movie where he buries the body, and it's finally done. Like, he tried so many places to get rid of it and couldn't get rid of it. Finally buries the body, pulls away, and as he's leaving the area, he sees a big sign that it's about to be under construction for a new casino. So he throws the car in reverse. So he has to go dig the body back up. It is tough. What the hell do you do?
How would you do it, Dia?
You know, I think I would have to go with, I'm kind of Edgar Allan Poe-ish a little bit. So I'd want the body to be close, you know? So I would probably have it in a neighbor's yard or in a, you know, in something that would add like this, some malice to it as to where like I could be over at the neighbors, like in their hot tub, hanging out with them, you know, watching these kids play kickball and they're using this mound that they don't even know about as second base, you know?
And that way also, if they ever find it, you'll know and you have time to run away.
Yeah, that's true. There'd be this big uproar at the neighbors, you know?
Mm-hmm. See, I think I would want to do it to where it's so gone that I can almost erase it from my mind.
Right.
So I can convince myself it never even happened.
Out of sight,
I can do that.
Yeah. I'd go to the dog pound, adopt a few dogs because I like saving things, and then have them eat the body. Like in the
it's a little
show
Game of Thrones. Yeah, it's a little Game of Thrones.
It is Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Game of Thrones. But that's what I would do.
It's interesting. I like that. How about this? I want to ask a role that you got over the years, right?
Yeah.
That you almost couldn't even, and it can be the smallest role you got whenever you first started. Because, I mean, you've been, your IMDb goes back. I mean, you've had success in acting for two and a half decades.
There's a lot of
two,
shit
over
on
two,
that
two and a half,
IMDb.
Yeah.
Wow. That's remarkable, man.
I was on.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was on, I don't know if it was Kimmel or one of the late night shows, and he said, you know what? Instead of saying, you've done a lot of shows, I'm going to ask you what shows you haven't been on. I thought that was a funny way to put it. It was just a blessed career. You don't know.
Yeah.
You come out here. Came out here from Chicago. You don't know what the fuck's going to happen. It's all a crapshoot.
Yeah.
I did come out with a play that was, it had puppets and blood and this big vagina puppet that killed people at the end. And
sounds
you
awesome.
See the theme of what I do with it.
Yeah.
And where I like my comedy.
Early feminism, it sounds like.
Exactly. Yeah. Smart. Well, you know,
edgy.
It had this supposed thing called a clitoris that I don't think it exists.
Yeah.
But I've heard talk of it. And so this vagina, this clitoris would actually kill people. And so it became kind of a cult show out here.
Mm-hmm.
And so it got me agents and managers and stuff. So it's a crapshoot. You don't know. I lucked out. I started getting all, you know, and not every year was great. Some years were shit and some years were amazing. And then up and down. And then it got pretty steady where it was okay. I could live a life, you know. And then Parks comes along and that kind of changes everything.
That's
because
awesome.
You do that for 7 years, and in the meantime, because people know who you are now, they're calling you to do other stuff and this and that, and then you were in syndication. You know, it changes.
So that really changed everything.
Everything. Yeah, I always say Stumpy's Gang, which was the name of the play with the blood and the puppets, gave me the start of my career, and Parks gave me, it took it to the next level by a big stretch,
right?
Because now, and I'm still willing and happy to audition for stuff, but in general, we get calls,
right?
You know, is he available for this? But I recently did a Soderbergh film, I was happy to audition for that. So I mean, I'm still happy to do that, but a lot of times I'll just get a call saying, is he available,
right?
And that's
awesome,
yeah.
Well, it's awesome,
so much pressure gone.
It's deserved too.
And I'm actually a guy who likes to audition, I don't mind auditioning, but I also like to get a gig. So if they just want to call, and the Soderbergh one. I was so I get the gig. I'm flying to Atlanta. This is last, I think, September, October. And I full-on panic attack on the plane thinking, I think they made a terrible mistake. Because the film, I don't know if you've heard, it's called Logan Lucky. It's got Channing Tatum and Adam Driver and Seth MacFarlane and Daniel J. Craig, you know, Bond. Mm-hmm. So I thought, I'm going to get there and Soderbergh's going to go, who the fuck is that?
Right.
I just was sure they'd made some terrible mistake, but thankfully they didn't.
Wow.
So that was a sin. So I fought for that role, happy to fight for that role, but also happy to go, yeah, I'm available. What's going on? When are we shooting it?
Yeah,
what are they
totally.
Paying me?
Is there an actor recently that you've that you found yourself kind of in awe of that you didn't expect to be, kind of?
Many. But whose career I'm so happy for, and would, of course, like all of us, like to emulate it, is Bryan Cranston.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because you get labeled in this town, you know? I'm the big, funny, wacky, fat dude, blah, 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 blah. It's great, pays my bills, but we're actors. So he did Malcolm in the Middle.
Love
and I don't know
show.
If you ever saw the show, but
yeah, love
he was
it.
A silly man.
You were on
a
that
silly,
show, too, right?
I did that show, yeah. He was a silly man, you know, and a terrible parent, but a loving guy. But, I mean, a sitcom dad. So you wonder, can anyone ever get past that? Well, yeah, they can. He did Breaking Bad and fucking knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
So I look to that as huge inspiration because you'll have actors who will tell you they couldn't get past their role, you know. And I love Jerry Gergich, and I love those. If he's who I'm, you know, compared to the rest of my life, that's a gift. Those people were amazing. Everything about it was awesome. But we're actors.
Right.
And so can I do that? Yeah. Can I play
do
Lenny?
Something else?
Yeah. Can I be a murderer? Yeah. Can I be
Huey P. Long?
Can I be what?
Huey P. Long? I could see you being a Huey P. Long.
Who the hell is P.
Yeah, what is that?
Huey P. Long? He got assassinated. He was the governor of Louisiana.
Oh, look,
he's had a bunch of movies
Mr.
about him.
Mr. Educated.
They've well, never, from Louisiana.
They've had a lot of films about him. Yeah, just because it's Louisiana.
There you go.
I couldn't
Otherwise,
tell you.
Otherwise, you're a dumbass?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
good.
Governor of Illinois, I couldn't name one, I don't think.
Lugoyevich, and he's in prison. I know that because I'm
he?
From Illinois.
Oh, that's awesome, yeah.
There you go. Otherwise, I wouldn't know anything about governors either.
So going off your acting career, you've done everything. Literally, your IMDb page, I stopped looking because there was
You're
too
bored.
Many credits. It was seriously such a long list.
Oh, thank you.
What is your favorite guest star role you've ever done?
Wow. Well, I can tell you one specifically only because it was different, like I was just saying.
And also, what was your worst after?
Okay. My favorite, and it was because it was different, was you guys probably haven't even heard this show called Diagnosis Murder with Dick Van Dyke.
Mm-mm.
It was a huge show.
Dick Van Dyke celebrated his 90th birthday.
Yeah,
and
that's
I,
right.
Awesome. Said happy birthday to him from the stage. He was
oh
here in the
God.
Building. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool.
I am in awe of him. I love the old timers.
Yeah, neat.
I'd rather sit with them and hear their stories than sit with Brad and Angie and hear their stories. You know what I mean? I love that old time
Not
stories.
Only did he come to the Comedy Store for his birthday, he stayed all night.
Yeah.
He stayed till 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was crazy.
No, he was in the trailer singing songs from movies he's done. He did a little tap dance. He wanted me and him to spar doing Laurel and Hardy bits. He was amazing. And so I couldn't even believe I was on set with him.
Yeah.
But the best part was I was playing a mass murderer. So someone was willing to take the gamble from me doing all the comedy stuff they had seen to letting me play. Because they wanted someone who looked... Not to be like I'm the last one you're going to suspect when you watch the episode.
Yeah.
You're not going to suspect my character did it. Suspect, but and there was one point where the producers came up after we had done one scene and they said, "We've never seen that look on Dick's face." And I was like, "Oh fuck, did I goof something up?" And I go, "Oh my God, are we going to do it again?" He goes, No. He had complete terror." I go, "Good, I gave him that." Yeah. So, but then again, that aired, got a great response, and then. All the comedy stuff came back in.
So, yeah.
And again, I love the comedy show. I do comedy till they put me in the ground, and that's fine.
But you're an artist. You want to do everything.
Yeah,
you want to be challenged.
Yeah, and as far as my worst, wow. Oh, God. I will say this. I don't have a worst other than, and I'm certainly not going to say anyone's name, some people are dicks.
Yeah.
Some actors, some famous people are dicks, and I don't understand it. I just don't. I think if you are working in this business... And if you're a regular on a series, I guarantee you're making a nice living. Even the smallest of shows, you're a series regular.
Yeah.
You're doing just fine. And so I don't understand their ugliness. I don't understand how they can't be appreciative. And I've seen that. And that immediately sets me in the wrong place with that show. So it's not even the show's fault sometimes. It's just like, oh, what a dick.
Does that adjust the vibe on a set overall, you think?
100%.
Really?
There is a show now. I'm not going to say the name other than I will say it was recently canceled. And I have a friend who was recurring on it. Imagine this. He's recurring. Actors love recurring gigs, especially on a show that's going on for years. He called his agent and said, I can never go back there again. It's going to give me cancer.
Wow.
Of course, he got cancer 3 weeks later, colon cancer. He's fine. But what I'm saying is it was so miserable on that set, and it was a comedy. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? What are you doing? You're not going to get the best work out of people.
Yeah, it was Two Broke Girls, you know?
What was it?
It was Two Broke Girls.
Yes, it was Two Broke Girls.
Yeah.
I have no idea what show it was. I've never even heard of that show.
What about this, though? In similarity to Ari's question, a role that you got, okay, so you get the role, and that you couldn't fathom that the notes that the director was giving you, and you don't even have to, you can maybe just explain the role to us and not to name names, but like, we're at a certain point, you're not even doing whatever you would even be doing anymore. You feel like you're just doing some weird thing.
Yeah.
That does that ever happen?
A lot.
Yeah?
Yes, and I think sometimes...
Is it the director's vision and you just have to trust that, or is it sometimes you're just like...
I'm an actor who loves a director. Mm-hmm. I love being... Some actors don't want much involvement. I love it. If you have an idea, let's go. Respect my ideas. I respect yours. This is, you know, a collaboration. But sometimes I think they're talking just to talk, just to make it look like they're saying something. And here's what happens. When you're guesting on a show, they're not going near the regulars. So they're coming up to the asshole guest. And, Jim, I need you on this. I'm thinking, what show is that? It has nothing to do with what we're doing. And then I do it the way he wants, blah, blah. We always end up going back to the way it was originally done. But I think it's their way, him or her, depending on who's directing. They can't touch the regulars. Because the regulars, you can say, listen, on this one, we're going to, you know, certainly give blocking notes and that stuff. But in general, they're going to leave them alone because, first of all, depending on the show, these regulars have been doing this shit for years.
Yeah.
And also, you don't want to, you know,
you want to keep everything cool.
You're going to be with them every day.
Yeah. So they go at the guest stars or the co-stars. Wow. And so, yes, many times. And as they're talking to me, I'm looking in their eyes like, you are out of your fucking mind. But I'll try to give you what you want, knowing we're going back. Because that makes no sense.
Yeah.
In any world, does that note make any sense to anybody?
Could you see yourself directing?
No. As a matter of fact, we would have had the opportunity at Parks. Nick directed, Nick Offerman, Amy directed, Adam Scott directed. I don't think Pratt did. But the opportunity would have been there. I have no interest in it. I really don't. I was even mentioned Ari earlier. I podcast opportunities, blah, blah, blah. I am an actor. I love it.
Yeah.
I like doing it. I have no interest. None. Now, I do like to, you know, talk things out with people and, you know, well, because people will say, oh, what do you think? How do you think? You know, any notes on... I'll say it to my friends, too. Listen, on this, like, you know, even on Parks, you guys, this isn't working. Can you give me any feedback? I love that. And if they say it, I can give them feedback. But to be the director, no, I don't want to do it. Which is a shame because there's never anything I haven't been wonderful at.
Yeah.
So, well, you know what? You know who's missing out?
Modest.
America. Yeah. That's who's missing out, and that's kind of heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe, you know, people change. Maybe you'll want to direct one.
I might, and then it would be a gift. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, give back.
And you said your character in the Middleman movie that he, it's like an homage to his mother, right? Yeah.
The fact that he becomes wants to become a comedian. Yeah.
What would if your mother were to pass on, I don't know if she has or not, if she's with us still or not, but
waiting for the call. She's would you have... coma for the past 4 hours.
Has she really been?
Theo, let me check my asshole. Phone.
Let me check.
Oh, God. I hope it's a group coma. A my mom saying, don't drives me nuts. Mom.
Well, Theo, sorry. I did get the call.
Well?
I'm sorry. Go ahead with your question. I don't want to leave your podcast.
Well, no, it's perfect timing. What would your homage to your mother be?
Doing what I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I was in college at Loyola University in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what the fuck I wanted to do. I didn't have a clue.
Really?
And then, you know, I said I was in business. I don't know. Be an accountant. I don't know what I was going to do, and I only even went there because friends were going there. You know, it was just I was a good student without a career path, which I think is kind of normal. A freshman, there's so much pressure. What are you majoring in? I don't fucking know. I'm a freshman in college, so I didn't know what I wanted to do. But they had a radio station there, and I got involved in that, and it kind of spurred something. And so she knew that, and she called me one day, and she goes, "I just saw about this." This place called the Midwest Broadcast Academy in Chicago, and they teach about radio and everything. So cut to the chase, I went there. She was cool with me leaving Loyola, and I went there, and after a year, I have a demo tape. I send it all over the country and get a job in a little town called Rensselaer, Indiana.
Rensselaer?
Rensselaer. 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 Because good morning, everybody. This is Jim O'Hare on the air in Rensselaer.
Really?
That is what I said. How embarrassing is that?
That's
no, because if you think about it, it doesn't even rhyme.
Yeah,
like Lair.
Oh yeah,
it's actually
but it
Lear.
Sounded pro.
It sounded pro,
yeah.
But it was bullshit. So she would be thrilled. And unfortunately, she did pass away at the end of 2011. But she got to see some stuff. She went to red carpets. She saw me at the Emmys. She saw.
Wow.
You know, so she got a taste of. And one, I'll never forget, in 1996, when I was out here and I booked a remake of. Oh, I gave me the name. Anyway, Harvey. We shot it in Canada for 6 weeks.
Harvey Milk?
No, Harvey was Jimmy Stewart film with an invisible rabbit. And it was a classic. And so they redid it with me and Leslie Nielsen. Did you guys know Leslie?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With that fucking fart machine he had constantly. Every time he sat down, hysterical. The women hated it. But we come in. So she comes to visit. I have a car meter at the thing. You know, I tried to make it nice. And so she comes from the airport to the set. Well, at this one particular scene they're doing was a scene for me. And they've shut down the street, and there's fire trucks. And I just remember looking over, and she had, like, tears in her eyes. Like, you know, dreams coming true kind of thing. So, yeah, it was terrible that she died young. But she got to see some stuff, which was awesome.
That's awesome.
She would have been thrilled. And
living
I won an Emmy a couple weeks ago. I'm like, thanks, Mom and Dad, because I know they because my father never understood what I did, but always supported it.
Wow.
But he never made it. He goes, so you work down in Chicago. You work all day, and then you go and do theater at night for free?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I actually lose money because you got to help with this and how they no one has money, and he never got it. But front row, opening night, every time reviews came out, oh, I was showing my buddies at work. You know, because he was in the day of you go to work.
Hard worker.
Come home.
Midwestern.
There's your family. You paid your bills. Life is good.
Yeah.
So it made no sense.
Yeah.
That's probably one reason why you wanted to get into acting. Be different from the parents.
Exactly. And I was a chronic masturbator, and I knew there'd be a lot of free time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I went to bed till I was 30.
Wow.
Went to bed till I was 30, bro.
30, really?
Wow. Yeah. How old are you? 30. You're only 30. How
37 now. I'm an adult.
So would you warn, like, women when they were spending the night? Would you be like, sometimes I went to bed, don't be alarmed?
Sometimes I would
find out.
Sometimes I very, very earnestly would. Sometimes I didn't know who wet the bed, me or them, even though I knew it might have been me. And
you?
Sometimes I just let the party just happen, you know, and just say it was a party, you know, who knows what happened. Somebody feel, oh, sometimes I would get a beer and just like put it in the bed like next to us and be like, what the fuck? Like somebody.
That's a smart move.
We're drinking beer in here, huh?
No, they'd beer would cover piss. Beer,
like, yeah, and I would lit and I would pour a bunch of the beer into the bed.
Yeah, beer would cover piss.
Here's a question. How'd you stop? You think you pee the bed till you're 30. That's never going to end. How'd it end for you?
Well, at a certain point, it was a bunch of things that happened. I mean, for one, when I was young, they used to have a pair of electric underwear. And my family, my mother grew up outside of Peoria in Wyoming, Illinois, which is a small town in Stark County. Illinois is my second favorite state. But anyhow, I would go up to my grandparents and had on these they had these electric underwear that had a buzzer in the front. And when you liquid would hit the buzzer, it would wake you up, right? When that first drop would hit them. Well, I'd go over to my grandparents and stay over there in the summer times, you know, and they had apple juice up there, you know, they had a little bit of money and they had apple juice, you know, and I'd piss big on apple juice, dude, because I'd fucking just take that whole half gallon down, boy, fucking partying. So I'd fill up on apple juice, boy, and go lay in the bed, dude, and then, so I had those magical underwear on, right? Nobody had told my grandparents I'm staying there with them. So I'm dead asleep. I was a deep sleeper, dude. Almost a drowner, really, with this whole program going on. And I'd urinate, start spraying out. And my grandfather comes in from the other room. And, you know, I've been laying in there buzzing for like 15 minutes. He has it's small home. And he came in, and he didn't know what's going on. He just sees me in the bed just buzzing in this pile of water, you know. And he's like afraid to touch me because he thought he might get electrocuted. So he was like, I wake up, he's on a chair, hitting me with a broomstick.
Holy shit. Yeah.
What
damn.
The fuck? And I was just like, damn, dude, we got these magical drawers, bro.
That's terrifying.
We got these magical drawers.
And then all that electrocution to your penis just made it so you wet the bed after that.
That's that party, bro. That's that party current.
Wow.
And then what happened later on, they developed a pill you would take when you slept over at somebody's house. You could take this pill and it would stop you and you wouldn't urinate at night. And then, some of those things worked, but a lot of it was just some severe anxiety and stuff that I had. So a lot of that would build up over the years, and then eventually it just went away. I think just by living on my own and just like being like that, not living in scary environments, you know?
Wow.
Because we used to get attacked by dogs all the time in our neighborhood, and so it was just a scary place to be, you know?
30s old, though, to wet the bed.
Yeah, I was partying, dude. Yeah. Partying, bro. Yeah, yeah. You know? The good thing is, like, it's still like a party up until you're about 30. You know? People are like, damn, this dude drinks a lot,
that's
even though.
Partying,
yeah. This guy drinks a lot, even though we just went to a movie and went home and relaxed. Right. You know? Like, this guy.
Past age 30 is not cool to say party.
Yeah. So I had to shut it down. But hey, man, I was an adult bedwetter, and I still have. And I can relate to young people. That was why, you know, it would always be cool. Even if I see my nephews now, I'm like, you know, who wet the bed, dude? You know, I wet the bed till I was 30, you know. It's no shame in it for them, you know. They're like, I did, you know. And it's a party.
Uncle Theo pisses the bed.
Too. We all pee in the bed.
I want to pee in the bed now.
Dude, it's. Yeah. I'll tell you this. There was some magic to it, man. Just laying there knowing you didn't have to go to the bathroom like everybody else.
I did always think it would be fun to buy a pair of Depends and just put those on and then pee on purpose.
Yeah.
And just not get up to go to the bathroom because you're wearing Depends.
Well, or at a bar you can do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so we're going to tell everybody you have to go see the film Middle Man Movie.
Yep.
And Jim, where can everybody follow you that if they want to follow you on social media?
Social media at Jim O'Hare, and O'Hare is O-H-E-I-R. That would be Twitter.
O-H-E-I-R.
Yeah. And then what would it be? What would it be? Facebook?
Facebook.
Jim O'Hare.
Jim O'Hare.
Snap. Snatch would be something I don't have.
Good. Okay, that's good for you.
Insta something would be something I don't have.
Good.
Okay, we'll get you
and
on there.
And Pinterest would be something I don't have.
Awesome.
So,
yeah,
for ladies, I think that deserves a couple of points.
But something you can do is just make sure you check out the film. And if it's not in one of the big cities where you can check it out, then you'll be able to grab it in a few weeks, you said, online.
Video on demand and then Netflix.
That's sweet. Awesome. On Netflix. That's great.
Yeah, you could watch that, and then you could watch Theo Von's special.
That's true. You can watch my stand-up comedy special. It's on Netflix, too, a Netflix original. And we will make sure to blast it out and share it with everybody,
blast.
Jim.
If you like dark and you like funny, and this is your film.
Yeah, I want to see it. I'm intrigued to see how many comedians are going to want to tap into it just because of that. So we'll make sure to share.
We had a huge showing at the thing, because we just put the word out to comics.
Yeah.
Come on out.
Wow, I didn't get that to you.
Yeah, no, I said comics.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, hello, everybody. Jim O'Hare.
Jim O'Hare in Rissaire. What is it in Indiana?
Jim O'Hare is out of the air. Rensselaer.
That's so good. But it's kind of like if you don't move to a big city, sometimes that's kind of a highlight of a smaller area.
Yeah,
is getting the radio gig.
Dude,
sometimes
it.
People
it
give up at the big cities and go to those smaller areas to get.
And
up
it was a nightmare
game.
In many ways, but I also say learned so much. And dude, these are in the days when, like, you guys have everything is electronic. I'm producing ads with razor blades and tape.
Wow.
And you are making it, slicing, cutting. I mean, this is, you know.
Oh, that's taxidermy, dude.
Yeah, these are different days.
Yeah.
Yeah, 60 hours a week, $120 a week is what I made.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, look, he's put in his work, guys, and congrats on just such an amazing career, man. And
we're
so excited to check out the film and to have you here, man. I mean,
and I was excited because I am a Theo fan from Road Rules.
Yeah, that's so funny. Did you watch different reality shows, or what was?
Well, those were the first.
Yeah.
Real World and Road Rules.
Yeah.
So that's, I loved them. I loved the battles.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them in a while. But
me neither.
I watched all that stuff. Yeah, no, I loved them. My sister, we were totally into that. Like, did you see what so-and-so said? And, you know, like the Miami ones or this, and then the San Francisco one with Pedro and that.
Yeah,
was
that was
name?
Great.
The snot rocket guy.
Puck.
Puck. I mean, crazy.
He used to get arrested out on Sunset Boulevard all the time. He had some issues.
He has some issues.
A lot of those guys had issues.
Yeah. So, no, I big fan. Yeah, I used to watch it. So, you did one season or more?
I was Road Rules in 99, and then I did the challenge in 2001, 2003, and 2004.
And would you do it again if they did like...
No. They call me over the years, but I've just long retired.
Yeah. Because some of those guys, that's all they do.
Yeah, some of it's a life. It's a life path, you know, and it's... I don't think it's bad. I just felt like it was just, I don't know. I didn't find any joy in it after a while.
But is there money other than unless you win?
Well, you had money if you won, and then you had, like, you would do, like, appearances at bars. And sometimes that was great. You can make, like, $500 a night doing, like, appearances at bars. But I didn't like to drink much, so I didn't like being in that environment.
But, I mean, when you're on that, if you go away for however many weeks for the challenge.
Yeah, like a month.
They must give you X amount of dollars guaranteed, right?
Right, but there was no union, so it's very bad money. I mean, I'll tell you this, man. This is why I have no – this is one thing that I did like about – that I thought was interesting about Donald Trump running for president. And I make this full circle here is that, like, reality TV paid – So I started out in reality TV in 1999. They paid us minimum wage, $4.25 an hour, 40 hours a week, for a show that had 14 million viewers a week. Wow. So the money that they were making was millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they were paying me $325 a week.
Yeah,
right?
Not even a bonus.
Not even a bonus.
Wow.
So it's just so then you, like, for years, these people were making tons of money on reality TV. And you, with it, honestly, I think it's great. I think it's fun, entertaining television. I also think that it's not healthy television. I found it to be women start fighting on all these shows.
Well, now more than ever. Yeah.
And now more than ever. Yeah. And even when I got out of it at the time, it was because women were fighting. It was like when women started fist fighting each other, that's not a part of my life. I don't want to be associated with that. So anyhow, but then years later, you're wondering why America's dumb. But part of Hollywood helped create some America that just is brainless. And I'm not saying that's who voted for Donald Trump, but I'm saying there's probably a contingency, maybe 5% of brainless fucking monitor monkeys who just sit there in front of the TV all day.
Yeah.
Who
would do anything to be on television. That's what reality TV has done.
Yeah.
The Kardashians have proven you need to have a fuck tape. And you can have a career on. It's true. I mean, you know,
people don't want to be actors anymore. They want to just be famous.
They just want to be famous, not for anything other than whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Because they want the red carpets and they want this. And when I always say all these reality people, and then shit comes out about them, and I'm thinking, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
We live in a day and age where I can go on that computer and find out everything I need to know about you.
Yeah.
So the shit you've done in the past, it's coming out.
Yeah.
Because people are going to go after you.
It's
the
dirt.
Nature of the business.
It's a dirty universe.
It really
is. But yeah, just how much Hollywood just bashed, like, but then the fact Hollywood made a ton of money off of that programming that really wasn't doing anything to benefit a lot of America.
Yeah.
So I just found that sometimes I found there was no responsibility for that. Like,
wait, are you hinting that our president isn't a genius?
No, yeah, I am.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to wrap this up then.
I thought you were American. I thought you. Trusted our commander in chief.
Yeah, fucking country,
I
Theo.
I do. There's some things I love about our president, but I think that
there's nothing I love.
But really,
nothing.
But I think that it was just interesting that there was just no accountability by Hollywood for dumbing down America for 30 years.
Yeah.
With bad television, and I was firsthand. You know, like,
did they prompt you guys to do shit?
No, they didn't prompt us to do anything.
So
at the
girls
time.
Are fighting. No one is instigating. Other than they're supplying booze, which is going to create shit.
Yeah, it doesn't help. That.
Yeah. Because I know on Kardashians, because I know people have told me, crew, they have call sheets.
Yeah.
Here's what we're doing today.
Oh, 100%.
Now, there is nothing reality about a call sheet.
They
about
also that. Have things. My friend was on a show on MTV reality show last year, and he was a normal guy, didn't do anything. When you watch the show, he's barely in it. They just they're like, you don't want to be a crazy person? We'll just not put you in the show.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a shame. It really is a shame.
Yeah, it's just weird. But it is interesting, though, that when you think about some of our biggest stars, and I'm not saying some of our biggest talents, but like the Kardashians, like you could label, you know, if they had a magazine that are like, these are the biggest stars, they would be in there at the top or close to. And that our president is not it's a star, not a politician, right? And I'm not saying that politicians are good or bad, but not a politician. But it's interesting to see that you don't even have to be what your talent is in that genre anymore to achieve the height of it. Like, I wonder what other, like, is the astronaut just going to be some fucking dude who, like, really wants to go to space on Instagram?
Right.
Where, like, what's next, you
what
know?
Yeah.
Because those are two huge things to get to the top of the entertainment industry and the top to the White House and not be a talent in that field. It's bizarre, isn't
it? Well, I mean, not to get too political, but lie, literally one lie after the other, that people in our country said, okay, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Oh, he did this about what? Man, that's okay. We can get past that.
Yeah, and the Kardashians, like, that have a sex tip, like, that's what gets you to your level.
Yeah, and the mother who put it out. That's a tough one to take in.
Yeah.
You know, because the word is, you know.
That's a true word.
Yeah, Paris Hilton had gotten hers, and the mother saw what happened to Paris. She got all sorts of celebrity, and she released it.
What a weird world. Crazy world.
It's crazy.
The saddest thing is knowing if you put your kid's sex tape out and it wouldn't make any money. That's got to be even worse.
No one gives a shit. Damn. Yeah. Well, my publicist who we share, there was a joke about, he goes, I got a call. Are you naked in something? I go, dude. Two things. One, if I am, oh God, there'll be nothing to be afraid of. This is no. But two, I have never, Because you guys are young. I'm sure you've done it. Have you sent dick pics?
I have a buddy who gave me two of his pics to use.
Oh, so you don't do your own?
No.
Oh, well, that's smart.
I have a few homemade pornos. Yeah.
No, no, no. But I mean, yeah. it seems to be the thing. You start dating and then whatever. You send them. I go, dude, if there's one out there, it is not me. There has never been a camera that I have been involved in that has concentrated in any specific area of my body. Yeah. Now, have I been in a hotel or something and someone pulled some shit? I don't know about that. Walking around or something. But so, yeah, no, there's no.
What about a drawing of your dick? Has that ever been released?
You think have you ever been like an art model?
I have released 500 of them. Not one has gone viral. Not one. 500.
Wow.
That's awesome. Yeah. You're playing the game.
Guys, if you
I am playing the game.
If you want to support a funny man and a guy who's really, I mean, it's almost like you're just stepping into the height of some of your opportunities here. It seems like with getting, I mean, this is your first lead role in a film.
Yeah. I say, if you don't like me, don't go to it. There's three scenes I'm not in.
Yeah.
So if this big pumpkin head is too much for you to take, do not see Middleman. But if you think you can get through it, you know, then take a look.
Man, and I'd love to see. I mean, I don't know if they ever are going to do like a All in the Family remake, but I bet you could pull it off, man.
Oh, with Parks?
Carol.
Oh, you mean playing Carol O'Connor? Yeah.
I'm a huge Carol O'Connor fan.
I love Carol. I love All in the Family. Huge, I still, you know, on the Nick and TV Land, one of them has All in the Family, Cheers, again, shows you guys don't know. I love that shit.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that'd be an honor.
Yeah.
And there's a guy, too, comedy over to drama.
Oh, amazing. I was in the Heat of the Night fan too.
Yeah. He pulled it.
I'm younger than you guys. I don't know any of these.
Yeah,
references.
You're younger. You don't know.
How old are you?
27.
Oh, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. This guy's
I'm
a deviant.
I'm taking Propecia though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have some. I have to bring it for you.
Yeah.
I remember.
Don't do generic.
Oh, I'm got mine from China. Why not?
I'm hearing mixed.
Are you really?
Yeah. I don't for whatever reason. Uh-oh. There's still a mop up on my head. But,
yeah, you're doing good.
Yeah, so far, but friends who did it, the problem is the real shit is so expensive.
That's why I ordered from China.
I know, but supposedly it's not as
okay.
Does it
put
do
your
anything?
Head down. What do you got going on?
Yeah, it's just thinning. It's fine.
Yeah, no, that's a shame. Yeah. He'll be bald in the next 2 weeks. That's a shame.
Okay, so we come to the final round, Jim. This is where we each have 30 seconds to prove why we should win the episode.
Okay.
And we can make it a contest. We can make it anything we want. So we can make it based on something we discussed. We can make it based on, and anybody can field an idea. And then Ari will, and I will each have 30 seconds either to give our side of the competition or to just say why we should.
I got nothing.
Let me think. No. His character's a murderer, or there's murder involved. It's called Middleman Movie.
Points are not piling up.
Okay, what about why don't we have to be the character maybe, and we have to do 30 seconds on stage?
We have to be the middleman character.
Yeah, could we do that? So, like your first time, just impersonate it.
So my first time?
No, your first time in the film.
Yeah, do it. Yeah.
So you're about to do 30 seconds as a first time comedian? Is that the role you're playing right now?
Yep. And
never on stage before.
Okay.
Yep, 30 seconds as a first time comedian. And when I'm walking in, what's happened just kind of recently, just in my life.
You think you're going to nail it.
Yeah.
So you are heading up there to kill. You think you're going to kill.
Okay. All right, you got 30 seconds for me?
All the confidence in the world.
Yeah.
Okay, all the confidence in the world. All right.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Thank you guys for coming out tonight to the Des Moines Chuckle Hut. My mother just died, so one less electric bill I have to pay, huh? Am I right? Okay. Long day today, huh? Just joking. Only 24 hours. Am I right? Okay. With 30 seconds. Okay.
The best moment is, yeah.
It's weird because there's no audience. You know what's funny? I've only been doing comedy 4 years. I still remember my first joke.
Oh, well, there you go. But you have to be part of the you have to be part of, it's your first time, and your mom just passed away. Or do you have to, or no? Does it matter?
Well, that's, you did it.
That was my choice.
Yeah, you should match it.
Okay, it's my first time, and my mom just passed away.
Yeah. Well, you're his character in the movie. It's your first time on stage.
That's right.
Are you ready?
No, I'm scared.
Just let me know when you are and I'll start you.
Okay.
You have 30 seconds. This is Ari Manis going for the win.
I have no jokes about death of my mom.
That's okay. You want me to start?
Yeah.
Okay, and go.
How's it going, guys? I'm not doing so good. My mom just died. But at least there's no one left to be disappointed in me. I'm here going after my dreams.
Boo.
You suck.
I really, Okay, thank you guys so much. My name's Ari Manis.
Actually, I would laugh at that.
That was good.
When you step out and go, well, my mom just died. Because normally it's, hey, just got married.
Yeah.
You know, about weddings. You know, but no, my mom just died. That would get me.
That was me. That was me choking at the end, abandoning all the material I had prepared because I don't remember it.
Wow.
Okay.
Running off.
Enough of the backstory, bro. Okay, that's it.
Good job.
Jim, you have to, you're the judge and the jury.
So am I judging now for the whole hour that we've been here?
Yep, you got to pick a winner.
Okay, I have points. I've written down points. Ari ends up with, oh, wow, 12.
Jeez. Still high.
Double digits, baby.
Theo, 12.
It's a tie. Bonus.
Jim.
Yeah.
15.
No!
Is that crazy?
We lost to that hitchhiker?
You lost to this piece of shit. Exactly. Wow,
man, he's starring in movies
down.
And wins the podcast. You just have it all, don't you?
I have it all. Yeah.
He's got it all, man. You can check it out, The Middleman Movie. And Jim, thank you so much for joining us today, man. We're really excited.
These are the fun kind. No rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No rules, man. We really appreciate it. And we look forward to watching your career continue to climb. And congratulations,
so.
Man.
Thanks, dude.
So much.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Ari, thank you so much.
Thanks for
you can
me.
Follow Ari at Ari Manis everywhere, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm Theo Vaughn. We'll see you guys next time on Allegedly.